Welcome to the DataScience.LA podcast. I'm your host, Eduardo Ariño de la Rubia. Heather Turner is a biostatistician and senior research fellow at the University of Warwick, as well as a consultant. She became familiar with R during her PhD studies as an R user, and a few years later she developed the Generalized Nonlinear Models package, which is still in use today. Our conversation at USR 2014 begins with this transition from an R user to an R developer. As an academic with roots outside the traditional computer science background, Dr. Turner had some fascinating insights about what makes the R programming language interesting and different. She's a former editor of the R Journal and the local organizer for the USR 2011 conference and holds a wealth of information about the field of data science, the state of the technology, and the wider community. There is certainly more in this interview that I can mention in this brief introduction, from her new work using Shiny to communicate in statistical education to how to encourage younger generations to enter the field of statistics and data science. This is genuinely a must-listen podcast with lots of great information and some fantastic level-headed advice. I hope you find it as enlightening as I have.
Heather, thank you for joining me.
Hi.
So, we're here at USR. Can you tell me a little bit about your previous experiences with USR? You were a conference organizer at one point.
Well, that's right. I mean, I've been coming to the USR conference since, I think, 2006. I've sort of been a regular, and ever since I first came, I enjoyed the conference, and I always thought it might be nice to organize it, and so it was suggested one year that we could organize it at Warwick, and it was 2011 that we had the conference there.
So you've done work organizing the conference, so that's very much a community thing. You also, from a community standpoint, well, were the editor of the R Journal, if I remember correctly. Can you tell me a little bit about the kind of stuff that you did there?
Yeah, so I joined the editorial board just at the time when it was switching over between R News and the R Journal. So first of all, there was an R newsletter which ran for about 8 or 9 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
And then I think it was 2009. It sort of switched to formalize a bit more and become a journal and have focus more on the articles and sort of separate out the news about R and the conference reports and so on.
So, you know, for people that may be watching this, can you tell me a little bit about, you know, so what kinds of articles, what kinds of work was going into the R Journal?
So it just gives people an opportunity to talk about their new packages that they've developed. So really it's a showcase mainly for new package developments and to explain them in a fairly short and simple way. So it's not necessarily all the technical details. There might be a statistical paper somewhere else, and then you're really presenting the application and demonstrating how it can be used.
Okay. So you've been an R developer for how long now?
It's not quite clear when you move from being an R user to being an R developer.
Sure,
so
sure.
I started using R during my PhD, which I started in 2001. And I did write some codes during my PhD, which was then taken up by somebody else and put in a package. But my first real programming, if you like, that actually led to a public package was... So I started working on that in 2004, I think.
Is that the Generalized Nonlinear Models package, or is this another package?
That's right. That's the GNM package.
Can you tell me a little bit about the GNM package?
So it's, as you say, it's for Generalized Nonlinear Models. So it's an extension of Generalized Linear Models, if you're familiar with those. It just gives a general framework where you can extend, instead of just having a linear predictor, you can have nonlinear terms, which is particularly useful when you want to have multiplicative terms in a predictor. That's quite a standard use that we had in mind when we were developing the package.
So currently, I believe your work is primarily in biostatistics, is that correct?
Yes.
So there seems to be a pretty large biostatistics community within R. So as somebody who's more recent to R, one of the things that's been very interesting is that there are these pockets of communities, right? You've got the quantitative analysis community, the biostatistics community, the modeling community is its own sort of sub-community. Can you tell me a little bit about basically the R workflow in biostatistics, particularly how you use it?
I don't know if I'm standard in biostatistics because my workflow really came out is that time when I was working as a researcher and developing the GNM package. And so there I was really influenced by my collaborator, David Firth, well, my mentor, really. And he had already developed his own packages, so I was really sort of following his lead in good practice on how to program and organize yourself. So he suggested that I, instead of using a fairly basic code editor, that I switched to Emacs, and so I started using that, and also SVN was what I was using then, although more recently I've moved over to use Git and GitHub.
Are you still an Emacs user?
Still an Emacs user.
You're the only person I've interviewed who is not an RStudio person.
Right. So, I mean, I do occasionally use RStudio. It's particularly useful for people new to R when you're demonstrating things. I think, you know, if you've just had a long time of using a particular system, then obviously that's what you find convenient and you know the how to get the best out of it. And occasionally, you know, you find, particularly with new things, so for example, a lot of the new things RStudio have done with producing documents with R Markdown and presentations and things like that, sometimes it's quite convenient to switch because they've made that very, very easy.
Yeah, they've given you a button.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah.
As a Vim user, I definitely understand feeling very productive in an environment, and there is a reticence to change. So you clearly have a lot of experience with the R language, and you're coming at it, so you're not a traditional software developer, right? You came at it from another angle. Can you talk to me a little bit about the R language, and are there some features of it that you genuinely love?
I mean, the main thing that's attractive about R is that it just has such huge scope, and there's already, well, there's always new things being developed in R, and that, you know, I love the fact that a lot of statisticians are working in R, and when they come up with new ways of doing things, then they often provide an implementation in R. So that's why it's so attractive. It can keep up to date so quickly.
Is there anything about the R language itself that you either find appealing or very unappealing? Is there anything that whenever you bump into it, you're like, I wish that would change? Or the contrapositive, that is such a fantastic feature.
Yeah, I think one thing I like about R is that it's quite a readable language. So as you say, I haven't come from a general computational science background, so you know, I'm not really comparing it to any other language. I'm comparing it to statistics packages. So I like the fact that you know, when you want to fit a linear model, you call a command that you know, makes sense as a linear model command or whatever it is that you want to do. So.
You mean compared to more graphic packages like a SPSS type package or a SAS package?
Well, sort of in between. So on the one hand, obviously you benefit from having the script and the fact that when you want to rerun things, it's a lot easier than having to remember exactly how you navigated through the menus. Much easier to modify and repeat. But also compared to lower level languages, where it can be very cryptic for a newbie.
Sure. Absolutely.
Exactly what, you know, even what the function is supposed to be doing in general terms, never mind in detail. Whereas, you know, I think even someone with very little experience could get some idea of what was going on if they looked at an R script, just because you have good readability.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So the R community is interesting to me. You know, as a traditional programmer, at this conference, one of the things that I've seen that has actually been very pleasant to me is that there is women at this conference. Mm-hmm. There is some minorities at this conference. Is that something that you've noticed about this community? Is there anything about it that you think we should be able to do, that we should do as a community to attract more women into this community?
I mean, in the statistics departments and groups I've been in, both in academia and in work, and people I've worked with as clients, I haven't really noticed a particular gender imbalance. But it was something that I noticed when I first came to the USAR conference, and I would sort of occasionally mention it to some men that I would talk to, and they didn't really notice. So I think it is something that, as a female, you notice when you come in. But that's not to say that the community is at all unwelcoming. Quite the opposite, I've found the community to be very encouraging.
That's actually been my experience as well, is that this, out of all of the programming communities I've ever really been exposed to, this has been one of the most welcoming ones. And again, so it is clearly not representative of the population as a whole. You know, we're not a 50-50 split, women and men, inside of the USAR conference. But I can it is a step in the right direction, I think. There was even an event last night, I believe, at USAR that was specifically focused on getting women in R.
That's right. Yeah, we had a panel yesterday just to discuss some of these issues and try and understand why there might be a bit of a gap. Because one of the questions is, why are there so many women in statistics and related subjects, but there don't seem to be translating into package developers and sort of going deeper into the R community. So that's a bit of a tricky question to understand, and it might be much wider issues to do with perception of computer science generally, yeah. Which is obviously hard to address. But I think, you know, as a community, it's just something to be aware of, that where we see women doing things, we can encourage them, and perhaps when we're responsible for selecting people on committees or inviting speakers or any time when you want to get people involved in something, that you at least consider, you know, are there women that we can get involved here?
Sure. Yeah. You know, so you've now mentioned package development a couple of times, which is something that I'm not at the level yet where I'm developing R packages, you know, for general use. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you perceive the process of package development in R, and actually dissemination and communication about packages?
Well, I think the process of package development is very useful, because it helps you to formalize what you're doing. You have to think about how somebody else is going to use your code in the future, not just on your particular use case that motivated the development. And it does make you, you know, when you document things, when you write examples, it tests out things that you aren't in your immediate example again, and you think about how things fit together. So it does help in the design of the software, and help to improve the quality. Just that process, even if you don't actually publish it on CRAN or Bioconduct or one of the other repositories.
So educate me a little bit, because I'm familiar with CRAN. I'm not familiar with Bioconductor. Can you explain to me what they are?
Well, they're public repositories for R packages. They work in a slightly different way. CRAN, you can submit a package at any time, whereas Bioconductor, I think I'm right in saying, it works more on a release basis. Mm-hmm. They sort of encourage slightly different practice as well in the way that you write programs and so on. For example, the Bioconductor packages have pushed a lot more for the use of the formal S4 classes.
Oh, really?
The CRAD is all sorts of things go on there. It's a bit more of a free-for-all. So there are some slight differences, but it just was a focus for the bioinformatics community. For those that are particularly interested in that, it just sort of helps to bundle together some packages and to encourage people to work together and to design objects that will work well with the type of data that you get in bioinformatics.
You know, I just put together, you know, biostatistics and bioinformatics. I did a little bit of bioinformatics stuff in Perl. Perl was actually considered a great language for bioinformatics at one point. There was the entire BioPerl package. Can you talk to me a little bit? I mean, what kind of work is being done in that field in R?
Every time there's a new development in the technology, say the next generation sequencing or whatever, you know, then it will be followed by the Bioconductor packages. And it's a very active area. Okay. A lot of the people that are working in this sort of preclinical space are using R, and you know, the people that are actually developing the statistical methods are implementing them in R. So it's there's a strong link there.
Cool. I didn't know that. So right now, I believe you do some consulting also. Mm-hmm. Are you able to talk about the kind of work that you're doing as a consultant?
Well, certainly in general terms, yes.
Yeah, of course, in general terms.
Yeah. So most of my work is in the bioinformatics area with pharmaceutical companies or biotech companies. And I do a lot of work with consultancy consultancy company in Belgium, Open Analytics, and they specialise in providing services with R. So in a sense, they do a lot of the sales for me and making the contacts, and I get a lot of interesting work through them. But then I also, just because of the career path I've taken, there's different contacts I have made. So something that I was talking about at the conference here was something that I did with somebody who was a PhD student at the same time as me, and just got back in touch when he knew I was doing consultancy work. And
cool.
Similarly, I've worked with sort of professors that have then gone into consulting and then were interested in the statistical side of things, and then they want some programming support. So it's quite a nice team.
Nice. That is a pretty good layout.
Yeah.
So at USAR, you're speaking at USAR 2014. Can you tell us about what it is that you're presenting on?
Yeah, it's we've developed some Shiny apps for demonstrating some ideas in statistical modelling. So I'm working with Paul Houston at the University of Plymouth, and he's got a teaching fellowship there. And so he wanted to do this as part of his fellowship, to develop some apps and to try them out, see how they worked in the classroom. So at the moment, we've developed some apps for demonstrating some ideas around linear regression and cool. moving on into Poisson regression. We've got some working versions of those, so hopefully, you know, in the next term or so, he'll be able to start trying them out and
cool.
see how it goes.
Shiny is such an interesting technology. I was fortunate enough to speak with Joe Cheng about it earlier. It allows you to communicate. You know, mm-hmm. Shiny is a communications tool, and I think that's one of the things that a lot of environments are missing. So are you actually doing the Shiny development, or are you
I'm doing the development, but that's exactly why we chose Shiny, because it's easy to prototype some ideas, and then it's easy when you're communicating them. You don't have to start up R. You can even embed it in your presentation, and so you don't have to keep switching windows and fiddling about in an R session, typing commands that are mysterious to the students. You know, you can get straight on with the demonstration, and you can have interactivity. They could even follow it on their laptop or maybe mm-hmm. their tablet or mobile phone. You know, so it's a very versatile technology and very, I think, has great potential for the classroom.
I think it is a pedagogic technology. I think it's going to be one of those things that makes a big difference. So how would you encourage, you know, basically, if we've got somebody watching who is a younger woman or a teenager or even younger, what would you say to try to encourage them to go into this field? What would you tell them about the field, about your experiences as a technologist and a programmer?
I think one of the things is to try and communicate the stories about how the programs and the statistics is used in practice. I mean, this is certainly something that I didn't get for a long time in school. It wasn't until I was near my final years that I discovered that there were actually a lot of things that you could do with maths in general and mm-hmm. statistics in particular that went beyond just what you could see, you know, the maths teacher, maybe an accountant yeah. or a banker or something.
Yeah.
It's much, much broader than that. It's used in all areas of life. When you know about statistics, you start to hear it in the news, on the radio, on the telly, in the newspaper. But if you're not tuned in, you just don't realise, and you just think, perhaps if you're a sports fan, you think it's about tables and so on, or mm-hmm. you know, you might have just a very limited view about what you can do with statistics. So I think it's partly trying to show what the point of it all is,
sure.
what you can do with it, and then that will inspire people to go into the subject, because I think, well, there's all sorts of careers, there's all sorts of places I could
yeah.
take this, and you know, that's statistics generally, and in my experience, statistical computing goes along with that, because you're always having to develop, as I say, your new ideas or adapt to different types of data, and so you need the tools to go along with that.
So if you could go back in time, I have two questions. If you could mm-hmm. go back in time and talk to you, yourself, when you were first starting your journey as an R person, like we said, either R user or R developer, it's
yeah.
hard to know when the gradient happens. What advice would you give that person about what they needed to do on this journey?
Wow, I think as an R user, that it's a bit harder, because it sort of depends what area you're in as to what's going to be useful for you to know, and maybe you won't make the transition to a developer, and the main thing you need to know is what tools are useful for my job and how do I use them mm-hmm. effectively and correctly. Whereas if you're a developer, obviously you want to try and you would want to try and pass on some good programming tips and so on. I think perhaps one thing I would say is to not be too attracted by all the new and exciting things. You know, remember to look back at the history and the good things that have been done before, and try and keep some consistency with that.
Okay.
So that, because you know, I've been guilty of, and you can see lots of examples of people that come along with lots of great ideas and they implement it, and it's it just has annoying differences with what's already in R, and it makes it difficult for users, and even, you know, even yourself, even using sure. your own code, you say, oh, well, you know, what did I call this argument name or whatever, and why did I use a different thing from that function, you know? So I think, you know, try, it's difficult, of course, but try and be consistent with what's gone in the past.